Chiba Chiba going out.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? It is Wednesday, July 15th, and you know what that means? It means today is the day that the cop who killed Breonna Taylor should be arrested. That's what it means. Yeah, and my name is Donnie DeSilva, and I am joined, as always, by Dan Feraldo, Danny O, and my boy, Notorious T.I.D., Chris Tidwell. Wow. And we are the Godfathers of Podcasting. It has been a couple of weeks since we have been here with all of you. We have missed you, and we are thrilled to be back. 2 weeks ago, we made the executive decision to take a week off because of the Canada Day and July 4th holidays. Yeah. We said, you know what? We've been doing this for a few months straight. Let's give ourselves a vacation week. And then last week, we're set to go. We're ready to do the show. And all of a sudden,
you got the poops.
What happened, man?
Plague. Dude, I got the plague. I was
dead man walking.
Totally like, COVID.
No joke, I was dead man walking. For a minute, I thought it might have been COVID. I'm not even kidding.
Really? Were you having those symptoms?
I had some of the symptoms. Like, I was, I couldn't hold no food down. And then the scariest one was for about 2 days, 2.5 mm-hmm. days, I had zero energy, like zero. I couldn't stop yawning. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get up. I couldn't hold my head up. I'm sitting on the couch and I'm exhausted. What's that?
I said, that giant thing, that's got to be tough to hold that up. Dude, let me give you a very quick story. And this is no joke, because right around the same time, like recently, right, somebody that I know very near and dear to me, okay, it was my wife. She actually went in because she was so sick that she had to go into the hospital, right? Wow. And so they start doing this test, this list. It's not the same old list as it was now, man, because this thing has progressed and they've got so much more knowledge about it now, right? Wow. So they run down this list and they're like, hold on, I'm going to read this off. Have you this? And they rhyme off all this stuff. And if you answer yes to any of it, boom, you get tested. She said it stings like a mother. The nice thing is that they put your results up, like for most places, boop, you can go check it out in a couple of days. They put them up online. You don't got to call nobody. Thankfully, her test came back negative, but same thing, Donnie, same thing. It was that flu. Like she thought she was going to she was ready to just call it a day, toss a toaster in the bathtub and fucking get it over with. You know what I mean? Like that's how much she was hating everything. Right.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, she's fine now, but it was a couple of days of craziness. And thankfully you got over it.
It's good that she got tested. Did you get tested, bro?
No, because him.
Yeah.
No, I did not get tested. I called telehealth. I spoke to the experts there and I said, what do I do? Should I go get tested? They basically said that my symptoms fell within the less severe category. So even if I did have it, the treatment would be to stay at home and stay the hell away from people. So
that is a scary thing, is that everyone assumes it could be that no matter what you come down with today.
Right.
The number one fear is, do I have it now?
Well, the problem with the COVID symptoms is they cross over to so many other things.
Right. Exactly. So many things we've had before. Yeah.
And here's the thing. When you go in there for it now, right? Yeah. They're okay. I don't know about y'all, but I don't think that they've come up with a cure for it. So all they can do is just try to take care of the symptoms as they come up. Right. If you're feeling this, they give you this. If you have a problem with this, they give you this. If it's the lung thing and you have to go in because you can't breathe, they do this. So there's like, all they can do is go after each individual thing as it comes up. I think that's why the whole thing is like, you know, pretty soon it's going to be the lupus of viruses or something.
I know. And it's crazy. And to Donnie's point, thankfully he's feeling better now, but that doesn't necessarily mean that if he had it, that he doesn't have it now. And this brings me to an important point that I've seen both of you guys post about recently, is there's so much hate for the masks from certain people. So many anti-maskers out there who don't seem to realize that the simple point of wearing one is to simply not spread something that you might have, because you don't know if you have it. Symptoms or no symptoms, you might have it and you might spread it. And it's crazy to me. You still got people out there who are so angry about having to put one on.
So as it turns out, I mean, with me specifically, I ended up having just the nastiest case of food poisoning. You know, I had some takeout last week and it just obviously did not agree. I've had food poisoning before and it lasted, you know, about 24, 48 hours. This stuck with me for about 6 days.
What kind of food was it, you think? Because they can say it could be like 24 to 40 hours of the stuff you ate. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It could go back that far. What do you think it was?
I decided to get some takeout. You're welcome. And unfortunately, I think it was my takeout that really screwed me over. People have been commenting lately because I've been sharing photos of all the fancy dishes that I've been making at home and all the stuff that I've been doing on my journey towards learning how to cook. And actually that's something I want to share with you guys as well as all the listeners out there is we have a new partnership right here on the Godfathers of Podcasting, and that is with Good Food, makegoodfood.ca. So for everyone that's been saying to me, how do you come up with these recipes? How do you make this food? What is all this? What I've been doing is I've been ordering food through Good Food. I've been ordering ingredients and recipes, food baskets that come shipped to me once a week.
Now it's making sense.
Yeah, because I knew this motherfucker couldn't shop.
No, not like shopping's, that. Shopping's not like
he would. He's going to stores. Like, I'm gonna pick up these pearl onions and all of. Screw that. He's gonna go in there and he's gonna grab a box of Pop-Tarts and be out.
Yeah,
I will admit.
Painting it all nice, shining a flashlight on it to get the perfect.
Well, that's
photo,
all me,
but now we know. Now we know.
Yeah,
he's actually taking a picture of the picture on the side of the box. This is what it's supposed to look like.
That's what
now
it is.
Now we know.
That's what it is.
Now
it's
we picture, know.
It's the picture that's on the right? box, not the end product.
I want to see next picture. I want to see that plate. I want to see that plate all up next to your face, like you're one of them showgirls from The Price Is Right.
As always, haters gonna hate. But the truth of the matter is this: I make no apologies about the fact that I've never been a good cook, and I knew that cooking is really just a matter of following instructions. The hardest part for me has always been getting those instructions and marrying them with all of the equipment, the tools, and the ingredients that you need in order to put together the recipe. Because I would go through recipe books and see stuff and go, oh, that looks good. And then I look and I go, wait a minute, I ain't got that. I ain't got that.
Right.
I ain't got that. And all of a sudden that recipe's out the window. So the beautiful thing when you order through a service like Good Food is you pick the recipes you want. You can get vegetarian meals. You can get high protein, low fat, easy prep. You can get standard prep, whatever you want. All meals that you can do in 35 minutes or less.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing about it is the instructions are so simple. You get all the ingredients with minimal waste, minimal packaging, and you get all this stuff delivered to you once a week. You don't have to go to the grocery store, which is always a nightmare right now. It comes all to your place, and then you're still doing all the cooking. You're still doing all the prep, and you do your plating, and you do your assembly, and you do everything else, and you go.
Is there instructions on the plating?
No, well, there's very general instructions. Like
the picture on the box. No,
I'll be honest with you. The pictures that they supply in the recipes, the pictures they supply in the recipes are very different from what I usually put out. But that being said, they'll give you some general instructions, suggestions on plating. But for the most part, the instructions are really structured about how to prepare your meal. And they are so well laid out that you cannot make a mistake. It's a really great service. What we want to do is we want to encourage everyone, go to makegoodfood.ca, makegoodfood.ca, and enter promo code GOP45. And what that's going to do is that's going to give you $45 off your first two baskets. So if you order a basket that's meant for two people and you get four meals, on average, you're going to spend, you know, anywhere like $70, $80, depending on what meals you get. You're getting $45 off just like that off your first two meals, your first two orders, which is fantastic. And here's the other thing, another little kicker. Each and every week that we do this show, we say to everybody, go to godfathersofpodcasting.com and buy some merchandise. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to piggyback two promotions at once. Right now, as of tonight, until this Sunday, July, what's this Sunday? The 19th? Sunday, July 19th at 12 noon. The first 10 people that purchase a new apparel item from our shop at godfathersofpodcasting.com, I'm going to send them one absolutely free box of food of their choice from makegoodfood.ca. That is a completely free box, not a discount, not a $45 off, completely free week of food that you can get by purchasing a new t-shirt, a new hoodie, a tank top, whatever you want. I'm not talking about you're going to get yourself a mug, something you're going to wear and you're going to rock it out in public. Okay.
That is,
and you're
going
to get a brand new t-shirt, a brand new apparel item, and then you're also going to receive a free week of food. That is a pretty awesome deal, and that's going to go out to the first 10 people that purchase or until this Sunday, July 19th at 12 noon, whichever comes first.
Right.
I know, I'm going to go shopping this week then. I'm going to use a corporate right? discount for that merchandise.
Might as well get it. Right? Might as well get a t-shirt and get some free food.
It's the only way. It's Dan, if we can be two of those 10, it's the only way we're going to get any kind of free meal out of Donnie.
Good point. Yeah.
Haters gonna hate. Hey guys, speaking of people we haven't seen in a while, TV Girl is here.
Hi.
What up, girl?
What up, TV Girl?
How are you guys?
Good. We're doing well. We're just
good. You sound down, Nicole. Can we get what's happening?
Is Nicole down? What?
It has been an absolutely exhausting month. I think it's probably been a month since I've seen you guys. And
yeah,
as we all know, June is, I'm hoping people know, June is Indigenous Month. And it was a crazy month. It was a very empowering month, I would like to say that, because with everything going on in the world right now, there's a real voice. There's people giving me a voice right now. That Indigenous voice is definitely being heard, not only in my day-to-day job, but as a journalist, but also as a spokesperson for my Indigenous committee at work. So it's been a crazy, crazy month. I've missed you guys, but it has been just so empowering. And, you know, going into the month, I was feeling really crappy. Like, you know, we had these discussions, right, towards the beginning of June. But coming out of the month, it was a great month, and the conversations I've been doing. So
yeah,
which I'm super pumped about, right? And you have to remain optimistic if you're going to keep fighting the good fight, right? So yeah, it's just been crazy. I've missed you guys, and I'm happy. I'm happy to be back.
Miss you too. It's good to see you.
I was thinking about you this past weekend, Nicole, while I was suffering with my aforementioned sickness. Mm-hmm. And I decided, I had a planned vacation that I decided to stick to. And I was up in Manitoulin Island area, Northern Ontario. I've never been up that way before. My goodness, it is all First Nations up there.
It is.
Yeah, really cool part of the province. Got a chance to see some really neat areas, different parts of, I guess there's a lot of different tribes that are in that area.
Not tribes. I'm going to correct you on that. They're called bands or nations, just because tribes is an old word. But yes, there's a lot of different First Nations up there. And that's what makes it so awesome, is that I always encourage people to go up to that area, because you can literally be in one place and see and learn about so many different Indigenous bands while you're there, right?
Yeah.
So you mentioned old words. Let's talk old words Let's talk. Let's talk about like some Washington football going on right now.
Yeah, I was just gonna say. Right. Man.
See. I knew we could get a smile up out this bitch. Yeah. Right. We just had to say the right things. So
yeah, I wish I would have a shot of tequila right now. So cheers to this, because I'm telling you,
it's only been 87 years, right?
I'm sure Tid's got some tequila to spare.
I'm telling you, the ridding of the world of that R word, because I have been encouraging my own colleagues to stop using the R word.
Right.
You know, I would like to say kudos to Washington, but I can't. And here's why. Yeah. They only did it because their financial backing was being pulled.
Yes.
And as I'm sure you guys know, the stadium they play at, it's all run and named after the financial backing of the funds, right? And it was interesting when I read the press release, because I had to read it a few times to not be so angry. They did not cite the Native American community. They did it because of their sponsors and whatever other community they wanted to name within that press release. So I'd like to say kudos, but I can't, because they only did it by being pressured.
Yeah.
Removal of their financial backing.
It's like a left-handed compliment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to ask your feelings on this, Nicole, because I felt the same way. I think it was on your post, actually, when I saw the press release put out. And I noticed that, like many other teams here in Toronto as well, the street that it's either the head office or the stadium is named Redskin. Yeah. Like they even signed it the Redskins. Like I'm sorry, it's the R word, but everything is named that. So it's not just the actual team. It's so many things involving the team. And to your point, they didn't actually note that it's the actual, the negative connotation, the hurtful aspect, the historically racist aspect of the name in and of itself, which prompted the reason for the change. To your point, it's all these other things to satisfy this veiled idea that we're just going to change the name because it's time, without the actual reason for why. My question to you, and maybe this is for all the boys, is so much change is happening. I'm wondering if it's just worth it enough for us to go, look, change has finally come, let's accept it. Or do we need the change to come by way of them acknowledging why there's the change? Because I think that's the problem you're having. They haven't acknowledged the reason. They're just saying, okay, fine. Is that how you feel?
For me, definitely. You know, again, like, I've had these discussions about something called a land acknowledgement, right? Where you acknowledge the land on which you live. Okay. You can't just say the words. It's all lip service.
Yeah.
They're just going to say, we're going to change the name because you told us to. Yeah. But you're not getting it. Mm. And, you know, I have this issue with Washington in particular, because, you know, some of the names are questionable. Okay. Mm-hmm. But the R word in particular, and I said this on my Facebook, it is not just a racist term. It was a racist action. You know, the term Redskin, and I will say it for this purpose, was basically the real skinning of Native Americans. You got money for how many of us you could kill and turn in for money in the 1700s. Right. People need to understand that. I've had arguments upon arguments with people this week about why target America's sport? You know, why do we have to pay for that because they're changing the name? Well, you know what? Read up on your history.
For? Yeah.
Exactly.
What are you paying for?
Yeah.
Nicole, I want to ask you this, because whenever something like this comes up, whether it's the Aunt Jemima announcement, whether it's the Uncle Ben story.
Which they still sell everywhere, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, they haven't. There's a backlog. You can't just pull that stuff off the shelf just like that.
Yeah. Why not?
Because there's going to be 49% of the people that are still going to try to sell it.
Yeah,
of course. They need to. To me, this is exactly what. Don't lose your train of thought, Donnie. But this is exactly what Nicole is talking about right now. It's the friggin' backwards or say a left-handed compliment, the veiled. Okay, fine. We're going to do what's right. They still want to profit off of the racist imagery. So okay, we'll change it. But we want to sell everything. We're not recalling anything. All of those mammy faces are still on the syrup in the supermarket right now. And I've seen huge displays of them.
Yep.
But in fairness, Dan, there was never a announcement that they were pulling everything off the shelf.
No, I get it.
They just said they were going to stop making it. But anyway,
understood.
That aside.
The sentiment is hurt the same way that Nicole is pointing out.
Yep. I get it. But all that aside, what I'm saying is, with every one of these stories, there's the flip side, right? And the flip side is when you get the people opposing saying, oh, but wait a minute, what about this? And the conservative debate that we're getting right now is that logo was designed by an indigenous man, Walter Wetzel, who was, he was a member of, the Blackfeet Nation and... Yeah. And, you know, why would this be a problem? And nobody seems to have a problem with it except for liberal white people. And, you as an Indigenous person, Tid as an Indigenous person, obviously you look at this and go, no, I have a problem with this. This is an issue. And I think the bigger point is, if Walter Wetzel in, you know, whatever time frame it was, 40 years ago when he created that logo, 50 years ago, I don't even know when it was created.
Yeah, it was created in the 30s.
Okay. So we're talking about like 70 years ago plus.
Yeah.
If a person 70 years ago created 90. A racist image, racist name, and thought it was okay at the time, or thought it was a way to get a payday from the people that were willing to pay him in order to sell out in whatever fashion, that is not a unilateral statement that says, I speak on behalf of all Indigenous people, and therefore this imagery is okay. Right. And I think that's the part that's getting lost.
Yeah, and the same thing as going, hey, Candace Owens says that Black Lives Matter is racist.
Here, everybody puts up this. Everybody puts up this big stink. Oh, changing the name. It's going to take so much. Blah 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 blah. Listen, it would cost me $137 to go and change my name legally. Yeah. Don't give me the bullshit. Teams change their names all the fucking time. Yes. This is more about you just don't want to do it because it's going to show that you're giving in to the other side. No, you're not giving in. All right, asshole. You're exactly. being pressured into it and you're forced into it. That's not giving in.
And here's the thing, you know, somebody mentioned change earlier. I think it was you, Dan. Change is just starting, and that's what we all have to understand, right? Washington is the most difficult one. It was the most difficult one. Yeah. They put up the fight, right?
Yes.
You know, and people have asked me a lot this week, well, which names actually offend you? Because there's an interesting thing here, right? Washington, definitely. Cleveland, definitely.
Yes.
The Braves, I'll say that name because I can't remember the city right now. Thank you. The Braves, meh. You know, we've had this discussion about the Edmonton Eskimos, and I will say that word because there's a reason for it, and the Chicago Blackhawks, okay?
Right.
So these are the two names. I don't know if you guys know the name Jordan Tutu, anybody who might be listening. Yes. Jordan is a hockey player, a good friend of mine. He's what we in Canada, we presently call Inuit or Inuk, okay? That is the present day term for Eskimo, right?
Okay.
Well, he put out an actual statement saying that the term Eskimo actually doesn't offend him because that's what his generations, his previous generations, his grandpa, his grandma, referred to themselves as Eskimo.
Sure.
Right? Okay. So in this current generation, it's a very different term. And he's actually Inuk, right? He's common day Eskimo, right? And it was an interesting discussion because, you know, it's just generational, right? I actually want to show you guys something, and you might laugh, because so the Blackhawks one for me is also a questionable one, right?
Right.
Because I actually grew up, and for those listening, I'm actually holding up my Six Nations Blackhawks hockey jersey, and I wore this for lacrosse growing up, right?
Wow.
And again, this is for people who are just listening. There's the full Chicago Blackhawk logo on it. And I would say they're like a farm team kind of thing, right? They're supported. It's the minor hockey team, right?
Sure.
And the Blackhawk is actually based on a real human, and they are actually honoring him. Do I like the logo? No, I think the logo is pretty stereotypical. They can figure out a different logo, but it's such a difficult discussion.
Yeah.
But I believe now that Washington's changed, I believe you will hear by the end of July that the Edmonton Eskimos will no longer bear the second E word. I also believe, though, that even though, you know, Cleveland and
Cleveland to do it,
Cleveland will change. They're saying right now it's like, well, we'll look at it and we're consulting.
Right.
Well, they've got rid of tried to get rid of the tomahawk chop. And they've also, and if Canada is any hopefully indication, they refuse to say the I word. They won't say the term Indians up here when they're playing up here, because we know in Canada that that's an incorrect
term. But we're leaders up here, baby.
Right. But in the States, again, it's generational too, right? For me, now the term Indian is incorrect, right? We have Indigenous. We've had our name changes over the years with First Nations and with Aboriginal, But, you know, even if I go to the reserve, my grandpa, my grandma, I'll still call each other Indians.
Wow.
You just can't use it off reserve.
Can I ask you a question, Nicole?
Technically incorrect.
I want to ask you a question, Nicole, because I think this is actually important for all our viewers and listeners out there, too. I find it really interesting, and I've only learned this recently, including this very episode. Yes. And forgive me for these terms for the purpose of this conversation. Eskimo, tribe, Indian, natives, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yep.
These are old words.
Yep, right? and Aboriginal.
And Aboriginal is also old?
Yep.
Okay, could you give us some insight as to why? Because there are people out there who are, like you said, even within the community, using the words, and now they are considered passé, like mulatto, as a mixed... Yep. I'm of mixed ethnicity. Terms like half breed, mulatto were used throughout my childhood.
That's a huge question, Nicole. See if you can answer it in about 15 seconds because we've got our guest waiting.
Let's give you the floor. Okay. I'm sorry, but this is an important thing.
Very quickly, the terminology evolves on how time goes, right? Okay. Indian is an old term. It goes with the times of, you know, the genocide terminology. We want to get away from that. Natives is too broad, okay? Natives is a very broad term. Aboriginal, when you think Aboriginal, you hear the word abnormal, you're not normal. With Aboriginal, I'm not original, but I actually am original.
Amazing.
Indigenous, this is the term now, envelopes First Nations, Métis, and Inuit people. It's an inclusive term that incorporates us all, which has, for the most part, been a very widely accepted term through all of the First Nations, Métis, and Inuit people of our country.
That's
an important lesson.
Before we let you go, Nicole, you mentioned playing for the Six Nations lacrosse team. Yeah. Was that box lacrosse or field lacrosse?
Both. I did both.
Oh, so you were only a wimp half the time?
Ha, funny.
Field lacrosse is pathetic.
My three concussions will tell you otherwise.
You got those in box lacrosse.
Take that, John.
We also don't play with pads on the reserve, whether it's field or box. So come on, I'll play you guys anytime. I'm ready for that.
That's because of funding.
Thanks, Nicole.
Bye, everybody.
That's TV girl Nicole, everybody. She's awesome, huge. And we totally appreciate having her here. But it is time to get to our featured guest tonight.
I think it's an unfinished lesson.
And we are very excited to have him on because standing at 6'10" and over 300 pounds, he's literally the biggest guest we've ever had on the show. He first came to prominence as a member of the World Wrestling Federation, where he was first a brainwashed foot soldier and then a dancing oddity wearing an old school leather football helmet. And then the Wrestling Observer decided to name him the worst gimmick and one half of the worst tag team of 1998. So to hell with wrestling, wrestling's dumb. He moved on to the bright lights of Hollywood, where he's built himself an impressive resume, working with huge names like Gerard Butler, Guy Ritchie, Robert Downey Jr., Jude Law, Guillermo del Toro, Ryan Reynolds, Ron Perlman, and many, many more. You've seen him in 300, Sherlock Holmes, Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, Pacific Rim, Hercules, Deadpool 2, and on and on and on. His latest film, Becky, is out now, and it's getting rave reviews as the smash hit of summer 2020. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for the right here, who I've been told by a mutual friend happens to be one hell of a baritone singer. This is Robert Maillet.
Can you hear Good. Us?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. All right. Welcome,
so
Robert.
Did you hear that whole blowjob at the beginning introducing you that Donnie did, or should he do it all over again for you?
I like to, but he might. This saves him some precious time.
Robert, how are you?
Yeah. I'm good. I'm great.
Excellent. We first want to thank you for your patience. We had to reschedule last week. I think I was dying because, you know, I got the plague.
And you then, got the COVID?
Yeah, I might have had, I think I had COVID-18. But we're thankful to be back and have you join us. It feels like it was a long time coming. We advertised that you were going to be joining us, and we had all kinds of positive feedback. We had guys from the entertainment world and guys from the wrestling world both reaching out to us going, Robert is the nicest guy in the world. please tell him I said hello. And I'm like, yeah, that's going to be the whole interview. We're just going to say hello from every random.
Hello from all. Harry.
Yeah. Right.
But pretty cool in a couple of industries where they're both known for being cutthroat. You have this reputation for being just this genuinely great guy. Is that just the East Coast fundamentals in you, or what is that?
I think it is. It's the East. It is a East Coast thing. I think. I mean, that's how I grew up, and I can thank my parents, my DNA. I'm not sure how it was. Maybe because of the way I looked different growing up. Right. I was always twice the size than everybody else my age, you know, at school.
Right. Or,
and I think it made a difference from the way I reacted to people or how I treat people. Because I was always, people kept staring at me all the time. You become self-conscious. And you become aware how you treat people, I guess. Or you know, I like to treat people how I like to be treated. That's one thing.
So here's the thing that I noticed because of the latest film we're talking about Becky.
Becky,
the latest one that you did. And,
Becky,
and
what's that?
You gotta see it.
It's a dope movie. And here's the thing that made me such a fan of it. I gotta be honest, and I'm not just you know, tickling your balls here, Robert. I've known Robert for many years, and Robert's been in a lot of movies, and all the time he's just, you know, just this giant, huge monster and everything like that. But for the first time, this is probably the closest that you get to see. Like, Robert is this ginormous, imposing, don't take any shit kind of person, but he has this side to him where he's very soft, he's very sympathetic,
yeah.
He's very understanding of the situation. And for the first time ever, I think that really came out in a movie. And kudos to the guys that put this movie together to be able to use you, not just this shadow of a figure,
right.
To use you, right? How cool was that for you?
It was very cool. It was very cool. Yeah, and thank you for, you know, I never thought of it that way, for where how I approached the role, but it is kind of me, you know, coming through a little bit of me, not right? The Nazi part, obviously, but
but even that, you can see that you were kind of like, when you're inside, you're forced to, you know, to survive a certain way. And unfortunately that came out on the outside, and you know what I mean? You could see it very soon. And then let me just tell you people something. There's this slight little twist where a ginormous giant.
Don't give it away, Robert, now.
You son of a bitch. You know what you did. Ted. You don't. You know what? No, he, dude.
A choke slam.
He chokes. Yeah, he puts a choke slam.
I know. I wanted to ask him about that.
He puts a choke slam on this actress in the film, and it is.
That's right.
Whoo! I popped.
You know what's funny? That was fun to do. You know what's funny when in the scene from when I doing the choke slam. It was described. It wasn't described as a choke slam. Basically, it says Apex lifts Becky up, lifts her up, and throws her down. And I heard they were going to use a ramp to push up or something. Okay, that's cool, I guess. But when I got on set on the field, when we were shooting in the middle of the field, the stunt coordinator Angelica, she's a big fan of mine, and she's a fan of. When I wrestled, so she added the choke slam.
Okay.
And of course, when she mentioned choke slam, I said, okay, well, I can do a choke slam. That was my finish most of the time. And those girls, because they choke slam, because there's Lulu, but there's also a stunt double.
Yeah, I was going to ask. It had to have been a stunt double, right?
Well, Alora, who was a stunt double. Actually, she's in her 20s, and she was as small as Lulu. Lulu's only 13 at the time.
Right.
But of course, I had to, when I threw down, when I choke slam, it was Alora when I threw down. But there was a scene where there was a part where I did have to lift Lulu up, too. to connect the other scenes to match. And both of them were 50, 60 pounds. So, of course, it was no issue for me to – didn't need a ramp.
So, yeah.
It was so easy. It was – the directors and producers were in shock how much – because I learned to do choke slam, you have to be 100%. I can't go half-ass on a choke slam.
Right.
From wrestling days, right? So, I went up all the way up and make sure it looked good. And at the end, it worked out. What's the best part, though? I choke slam to a big mat. There's a big mattress.
Okay.
So easy fall. Not like the wrestling ring or a cement floor.
Robert, did you feel any trepidation or worry considering how small and how young your actress was in having to sort of manhandle her in that way? Because that's different.
Than like she ever just like in rehearsal, whoop.
She loved it. No.
She's
loved
gone.
It.
just shot right out.
Hesitation. Of course, like I make sure when I do work with somebody,
right.
That's to do with fight scenes and films and wrestling as well. Make sure nobody's hurt. I'm not being professional, I make sure everybody's safe. And for the choke slam, I make, because Lulu's, like I said, she's only 13. She's the star. You don't want to hurt the star of the movie.
Right.
I already punched Robert Downey in the face. I don't want to hurt anybody else. But but I make sure she was safe and everything was cool, and she was all for it. She loved it.
Yeah.
She loved it.
I was going to say between Robert Downey Jr., Gerard Butler, and now Becky, is there anyone that's beaten up more leading actors than you?
I think Robert got a few punches in.
I was going to say Grace Slick.
Grace Slick? From Starship? From
Conan?
Oh, from Conan. Other Grace Slick.
Because apparently she's busted some noses on sets, apparently.
That wouldn't surprise me. She's pretty wild in the movie. She's pretty method.
Robert, I can tell you, obviously, I'm a tall guy. I'm 6'8", but you dwarf
me. 6'8".
Yeah.
Really?
But you're a hell of a lot bigger than I am. But when I was younger, I had aspirations of getting into acting. I did a lot of theater when I was younger. But then I found like all the parts that I would audition for, I'm not getting those parts because I'm 6'8", and my co-host my co-star is 5'4". And they're like, well, we can't have a leading man that's a giant. And then looks like he's going to eat the leading lady. So I was like, after so many productions where I'm a tree or I'm a background chorus singer or something else, I'm like, to hell with acting. This sucks. You have carved out a niche for yourself. And now, as Tid mentioned earlier, you've gone beyond that tiny Lister role, right? Where you're not just the big guy.
Yeah. That's a tall.
You're showing depth. You're showing acting chops. And I'm wondering if you think that this role is going to potentially untypecast you and open you up to a whole series of new opportunities.
Yeah, well, Robert in a rom-com. I can see it now.
That's what I'm doing every day at home, a rom-com.
Right?
I for sure, Becky, that would be one of my best roles. That showcases my range. I'm hoping Becky would do what The Big Bang, the movie. I don't know if you've listed all my movies on your IMDb. There's a movie called The Big Bang. I did 10 years ago with Antonio Banderas. He was the star. Sam Elliott, Snoop Dogg. It was a crazy cast. And I played this Russian, a former Russian boxer who comes out of prison. He hires Banderas to find my missing love of my life, write letters in prison. It's a crazy role. He's very sociopathic character. He's a boxer. He's brutal, but he's in love, so he'll do anything. He'll kill people to find her. And that role was the role of a lifetime, because I got it just after Sherlock Holmes, which of course was a big movie. The role was basically a thug, but not emotional. Not a deep part for sure, but a great film. And very lucky to get that part. But The Big Bang showcases my acting range as well. And most of my scenes was with Banderas. But the movie, you know, it was an indie film shot in the U.S., right. but it didn't, you know, went directly to DVD. So it didn't get the didn't get the light of day, except Guillermo del Toro, the director, saw that movie. He loves those indie films or artsy films, and he loved my performance in it. And he offered me a part in his Pacific Rim. And after Pacific Rim, as to play the master in this series, the Strain, the vampire Strain. Series. So from that, from the Big Bang, small movie opened a lot of great doors for me. And I was hoping that, of course, Becky would do the same. And I'm hoping, I'm sure in the long run it will. But this year, of course, you know, everything's on hold.
I'm curious because as an actor myself, what is the sort of ratio on the audition versus a role being written for you thing? Because I'm always having to audition. Nothing's written for me, but you're such a specifically unique look that I'm sure that you have roles. It's like they just want you. Forget an audition. How does that happen? Like there was a line in Becky that, you know, Kevin James' character was describing you as unreasonably large. And like, I was like, he's specifically talking... Is it because you're playing the role that line is written in the movie?
No, it's true. Let me tell you. I can tell you straight up. It's true. When you are, okay, I'm just going to say it straight up. When you're in the ring with this behemoth right here, and he says, watch the boot, and that thing comes up, and you have no choice because the first four rows have been taken out of your eyesight because there's this giant boot about to hit you in the face. It's legit. When he talks about a choke slam, you do not have to worry about sandbagging him because he's a goddamn giant and he will hoist you up and drop you down every single
which
time.
Makes me think
I've seen it happen with guys bigger than me. All right.
Ted. Hey, Ted, how many steps to get across a ring?
For him?
For you?
Depends on the ring.
Oh, yeah, it depends on the ring. I mean, it's three.
Your typical indie ring, Ted, about three, four steps?
Three in a turn.
How many when Robert's boot is in the air?
One.
Zero.
Right.
That's
off
from
the
corner to corner. No. And you know what? You know what? I do it 8 days a week.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. You were always great to work with. You're so easy to work with.
I don't put them over.
I was just curious, though, like how often.
But no, I got offered. Those are pretty rare, though, that I get offered roles. Like Guillermo.
Oh.
That was role of a lifetime where you get offered, no skipping the audition. And,
right.
You know, and some roles are made for me. That's a couple of times I'm trying to remember what roles are made for me. Like the Monster Brawl, the indie film I did in Northern and Collingwood. They wanted me for the part because of the wrestling background and monster stuff. And there was, when I did Haven, remember the sci-fi TV series Haven?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
Adam Copeland, Edge was in it.
Edge was on that show.
Yeah.
I played a recurring role in it, and they wanted me for the part of the heavy, without skipping the audition part. So there's a few occasions. Most of the time, I do auditions though.
Okay.
And they're not fun to do. They're fun, but they're not fun.
No.
Right.
They're stressful.
Who's in your category though? There's got to be other guys auditioning with you, not as
there's.
Big.
There's a few. There's,
okay.
I can think of one.
Please don't tell me Peter Smith.
No. I try not to encourage Peter to go. Actually, he does very well in movies.
Yes.
In India. He's filming.
Yes, he does fantastically. Movies. Yes.
Yeah. So he has a niece right there. So I think at least he's out of my way. He's outside the world.
Finally.
No. But
most of our audience is going, who?
Look it up. Look it up.
There's an actor. Yeah. It's funny. Yep. They kind of parallels my career. He's an American actor. He's a big guy. He's a former NFL guy. And the first time we kind of encountered in show, we never met him personally. First time we got connected or mixed up, we kind of look alike. We do. He's kind of double banger, double ganger. You call it?
Oh, doppelganger. Yeah.
It is a bit because people get confused thinking that guy is me in the movie.
Wow.
And vice versa. It's hilarious. He's Matt. If you Google him up, his name is Matt Matthew or Matt Willing, W-I-L-L-I-N-G, Willing. Willing.
Okay.
Willing.
He's a big guy, and I did a commercial 10 years ago, French from Quebec, so it was in French, about Hall's Candy commercial, where I played this kind of a Rambo character, who encourages a security guard, you know, to eat his candy and. His Hall's Candy, but the American version was him.
Okay.
So we did it, but what's funny though, I auditioned for, remember the show, Chuck, TV series, Chuck.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Clark,
yes.
He turns into a secret, yes, service in his secret, head.
Yes.
Well, I auditioned for a role as a thug, Russian thug in prison where he's in the fight scene. An audition for that role, and I won. It's funny though, I won the part, but I lost it because of the visa issues. Because it was shot, wasn't shot in Canada. It was shot
right
in L.A. Yeah. L.A. So I lost the role in the same day. Now, of course, who got the role? Matthew got the role.
American.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And wow. So we do kind of parallel our careers.
Yeah.
A
bit.
We do.
How many times?
I've Googled.
How many times? How many times have? How many times did you see him before you actually met him?
Like, I never, you know, met him. That's, we got, no? We got in contact with Facebook. We're friends on Facebook.
That's amazing. So there's the meeting. There's the love connection. We got to hook that up.
He wants to do a tag team partner. He wants to be together.
Yeah,
to blow people's minds. That's how.
The new killer bees.
The new killer bees.
I was going to say that a guy that you probably go up against all the time when it comes to auditions, because damn, say who else would there be? The first one that comes to my mind, because I love this guy as an actor, Winston James Francis. He's about Winston James Francis. He was on Glow, and he's also in. He was in Sons of Anarchy. 7 feet tall, apparently. He wow. looks like a wrestler on Glow. He played a wrestler. Okay. And apparently, I don't think he's ever wrestled. Maybe he had a cup of coffee in the Indies. I have no idea. But he is a huge mountain of a man. And I remember seeing him, like in most roles that he has, he's just your typical heavy. I remember in Sons of Anarchy, he had a few scenes where it's like, oh, wow, this guy's got some chops. He's actually got a little bit of range. But you seem to be snapping up a lot of those types of roles that I guess he's not picking up right now, but he's a big, impressive looking fella.
Robert comes from a world though. You got to remember where like the acting already came to him. These guys are probably still trying to learn. Robert has already, you know, he's performed already going into this. He's seasoned. Just because you didn't see him on film doesn't mean that he wasn't seasoned. You know what I mean? You learn a lot, like, you know, in the world of professional wrestling, right? Did you find that the transition was harder? Was it easier? You know what I mean? Because it's still a lot of time you're being told, don't look for the camera. Now all of a sudden, you know, it's completely different sometimes, right? It's easier? Was it tougher?
In a way, it was easy. In a way, it was very easy. When I remember being on set for the first time, not the first time. I did some TV stuff out of Halifax, but one of my first gigs. But my first big break was in 300. And I remember being on set, and I felt comfortable being on set. Because the first time in being on a Hollywood set, with all the background, all the stunt guys, the actors, and people behind the camera looking at you, lights at you, cameras at you. And I felt comfortable because I'm so used to the WWF backstage. It was very much like a Hollywood set. What the hell? That's a big bike. But that.
Giant farts.
But that's one thing. That's one thing, being comfortable
right
there. But the other thing is different, though, because when you're acting in wrestling, you're acting over the top.
Yeah.
It's like a caricature. You're very much like a caricature. When you're in pain, you're really in pain. You got to sell or
whatever.
Yeah.
In movies, you got to downplay it big time. Because you got a camera right in your face. And you can't exaggerate too much because it will look terrible. You got to minimalize. You got to act natural.
It's like the difference between theater and television.
Very much so.
Did you take coaches? Did you get a hold of some coaches and take classes?
No.
Like, through the process or just like give her?
No. I wish I did, because where I live is hard. I don't live near Toronto or Montreal.
That is true. Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of access to Maritimes, but not for me.
I'll put up your address for everybody later. No problem. No, I'm kidding.
Everybody knows already.
But hide.
I tried to absorb and learn from the best actors I work with, from Banderas to Downey. You try to learn from them and try to learn, get experience and try to get better at it. But yeah, I mean, if I were to take acting classes, of course, it would have probably helped a lot. But I mean, I try to use my own instincts, my own experience.
Just be a rookie again. Like you were like in wrestling, you know what I mean? Absorb what the older guys, the guys you would do. Say, ask them questions and everything like that. That's brilliant. Absolutely. I mean, a lot more people I think you're going to find do that.
Sometimes, like I said, I might have lost roles because of my, because of my limitations sometimes. It's funny though, the Apex role, if I would have auditioned for it 10 years ago, I probably wouldn't have got it. It's because I learned so much over the last 10 years.
Of course.
And I do get offered roles like that. Audition roles like that.
Yeah,
right.
Interesting, complex roles. There's a lot of meat to it. And I do audition a lot of them. So most of the time you don't get it. As you know, as an actor.
Oh, for sure.
You lose a lot.
Yeah.
But once in a while, it's like winning a lotto ticket. Once in a while, when you do win, you win big time. It's a roll-up lifetime.
Yeah, for sure. How do you audition if you're still living in Canada and you're doing so much work in Hollywood? Are you back and forth a lot? Or
I audition. Like what I'm doing right now, on tape.
Okay.
I do it for Becky. Most of the time I do it on tape. I'll do it on my iPad.
Okay.
Either my daughter helps me, my friends who are actors help me.
Amazing.
To read for me. And taping is great because it can take 2-3 hours to do your best stuff.
Yeah.
And when you're happy with it, you send it off.
That's true. Yeah.
And I send it off to my agent, and she's based in Toronto. But Apex, too, when I got a second call back for Becky, and it was on Skype, like what I'm doing now, live with the two directors. That's a different vibe because it's live.
Yes, for sure.
It's not taped. So you just screw up. You better not screw up because you don't have many chances like you do on tape. But yeah, that's
great.
What it is when you live at home in Maritimes, so do that. Thank God for the internet,
So yeah, that's amazing that you're able to do that, man. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. If it was like 20 years ago, probably not. But now you can do it.
Right, exactly.
So what's next? What's on the horizon?
Well, after
plug
the COVID
the hell
thing,
out of Becky.
After the COVID thing,
right? Yeah.
I did a few projects last year. Mm-hmm. They're all coming up this year. Of course,
good.
Becky was one of them because I did it last summer. I did another one, a Canadian indie film, in last fall, before Christmas actually, in Hamilton, not far from where we shot Becky. Vicious. It's called Vicious Fun. It's a horror comedy film.
Excellent.
It's fun. The premise is a bunch of serial killers having a meet and greet, talking about their kills and how to improve. It's funny. Just the idea of it is hilarious.
That was another thing about when I was watching Becky and stuff. It crosses over. The guys that did a fantastic job because it crosses over into that kind of almost comedy horror thing. You know what I mean?
And the gore.
Yeah, it was Home Alone camping with a girl. That's the way I looked at it. But but the gore was like that over the top, way too much. But it was fun. It was very fun for me. But then it had these serious points, and I think that everybody did a great job. If you haven't gone out and seen it, y'all need to check it out.
Yeah, it's kind of a breakout for Kevin James, too, man.
Right?
Yeah,
it's a weird role. How was
Kevin James in it? Yeah, Kevin James in a serious role for once.
Yeah.
It's getting a lot of critical acclaim, and a lot of the talk right now is that because of the number of major releases that have been pushed back because of COVID, they're saying this is the summer blockbuster. This is the summer smash hit is Becky. And here in Ontario, theaters are set to reopen this Friday. So all of you out there that are watching this, that are listening to this, if you are in the province of Ontario, get your ass to a movie theater, put on a damn mask, and go watch Becky, because it is absolutely fantastic. I had a chance to see it at the drive-in theater, and it's absolutely spectacular. It's just really well done. Thank
you. I saw it on the drive-in first time a few days ago in my hometown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so which is cool, because I grew up watching movies and drive-in when I was kid, watching Raiders of the Lost Ark and Back to the Future. It was all at a drive-in. So watching my own movie at the drive-in, you know, it was pretty exciting.
Man, how badly did you just want to go up to a few cars away as Apex and knock on the door or on the window?
He's not a mark.
That would have been
back on the East Coast. Yeah, you might catch a bullet for doing that.
Everyone knows Robert.
It depends where you go.
That's what I'm saying.
It's funny though. You know that night after we watched. It's funny after we watched the movie.
Yeah,
everybody was leaving. The writer for Becky came up. Nick Morris. He's from Halifax. He's from Nova Scotia, and he drove up the border. Like the borders closed, most partly closed because of the COVID thing. He sacrifices, drove up, brought his wife to watch the movie in Shediac, New Brunswick, you know, half hour from where I live.
Yeah, I love Shediac. Lobster Central. Yeah,
Lobster Central, absolutely. And it's the first time I met him. I never met him. So it's kind of
cool. Oh, wow.
The writer for Becky, who created Apex, my role, met each other at the drive-in, you know.
Sick.
And that was pretty cool. And then I kind of startled some of his friends were there from Moncton that went to see a movie to support him. And I, after the movie was done, I got out of my car, and of course it was nightfall, so it was dark. So I kind of startled a couple. After seeing Apex getting his head blown off.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Oh man.
That's hilarious.
You know what?
So cool. That's awesome. That would be so cool to see.
Yeah, it was a great night. You know, it was very cool.
Good for you, man.
Yeah, man.
I mean, the thing with Becky was originally supposed to be released in theaters before the COVID.
Right.
And it was supposed to have the big world premiere at the Tribeca Film Festival in New York. And I was intended to go. You know, why not? It's a cool thing.
Yeah.
Now, of course, everything got canceled and postponed. But I'm happy, at least, that it did find an audience, because, like you said, all the summer releases got pushed out of the summer. So by default, you know, Becky became one of the top movies at the drive-ins in the U.S. And so it was timing, you know.
It's all about great timing, man. Good for you, man.
Either great or bad timing. It depends how you look at it, because it's not helping my career right now.
But you can be guaranteed. Here's the thing. It's done really well. It's created a buzz. And what's going to happen is you're going to get like we know what's going to happen with COVID. You're going to get a second wave of it. You're going to get a second surge of it when people are able to go into places to see it. Then you're gonna get, you know what I mean? Because it's already created this buzz. So that's the cool.
The movie, like I said, will have a life of its own, and hopefully it will be in people's minds, and hopefully the next year or so or more.
And this is a movie that'll have legs. It'll do very well on home streaming services.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I think
it's very rewatchable. So I think it's gonna really do well.
Good for you, man.
She's amazing though. She's amazing.
Oh, movie, yeah.
She was offered the role at 11 years old. She read the script when she was 11. I remember when I was 11. I could probably barely read.
I was just trying to piss in the toilet.
Tucking my nose. You know?
Yeah. And she was I was trying not to pee on the seat.
Yeah.
And she couldn't do it at 11, but she did it at 13. But what an actress.
Pairing a character who's going to stab people in the neck. That's amazing.
Robert, I want to ask you, because I'm a huge, huge fan of one of your former co-stars, I'm wondering if you have any stories that you can share with us about Robert Downey Jr., because I am just the biggest fan of his work. Yeah. I think he as a as an actor is maybe even somewhat underappreciated.
Well, he's a genius.
He's a genius. He's a certifiable genius.
He's a pro.
Every time I listen to him in an interview, I think this guy is one of the smartest people on the planet. And he doesn't get that credit.
I'm right
not
here.
You, Tid.
I can second. Hear you.
Do you have any good Robert Downey Jr. stories?
There's a couple. Of course, the one, the infamous one I did with him, of course, it might be my tombstone, where I accidentally punched him in the face.
Right.
That one. I don't know if they heard that one. I can
tell. I would love to hear that one. I know our audience would too.
Well, the scene under here, the big fight scene, of course, is the one where we're fighting from the lab throughout the streets to the shipyard. The ship
great scene. Dock.
Yeah, intense, pretty, a lot of stuff going on. And the scene in the slipway in the shipyard, that took 4 or 5 days to shoot. Very complex scene to do. And me and Downey were rehearsing the fight. Most of the time, he was too busy rehearsing because he was filming. He's a lead guy. It was hard to get him sometimes. So I was rehearsing with one of the stunt doubles and stunt coordinators beforehand, somewhere in the gym, you know. Then when we came on set, we would rehearse it, but the fight would change a lot. Like Robert Downey would add some stuff to it, then the director would add some stuff or take away some stuff. Either way, it would change the fight, so, which is fine. That's the prerogative, you know.
Sure.
But you wouldn't have, this was tough though, you didn't really have time to rehearse it
properly. Okay.
So when you don't rehearse, stuff happens, you know. So the fight sequence where I was supposed to aim my punch like a jab towards his face, and he was supposed to block it. And I would hit him in the chest instead, and he would fall back over barrels. So we rehearsed a couple times, you know, slowly, like half speed. So when it came time to filming, we did all the stuff before the punch. It went well. And then we came to the punch. Of course, he forgot. It came so fast, he forgot the block. And I couldn't fake the punch. It was too late for me to pull back.
Oh, man.
But in my mind, I thought.
He's going to block it.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's a pretty tricky thing stunt to do. You got to trust the other guy and vice versa. So he forgot. You know, it just happens. And, of course, my punch hit him right in the mouth. Right there. And I felt his chin. I felt something. I know I felt his skin on my knuckles. And I knew I hurt him. I don't know how serious it was. He fell. He's such a method actor, though. He's still in character. Because he thought maybe because the camera was still on him, so he was still in character. And as he was, I remember he was dragging himself on the ground. But meanwhile, I was kind of chasing him, thinking, sorry, are you okay or are you killed?
Yeah.
Worried about it.
Right?
And then for a few minutes, the crew thought it was part of the fight sequence until it wasn't. You know. Everybody stopped.
Huh? Did he receipt you?
I think he did.
Yeah?
Months later, where we did the fight scene at the end of the film, where he hits me between the legs, you know, he's in the nuts.
Oh,
we used a pad, but he's a martial artist.
He laid it in, huh?
He's a method actor, so he laid it in
exactly.
And I felt that it was an accident, but I thought maybe it was like a payback. But anyways, yeah.
Did that real punch make the final cut?
The main camera was on my back.
Okay.
But somebody caught it, though. A camcorder caught it. It was an assistant caught it on camcorder. Which probably saved me. It kind of saved me because it shows it was just an accident. It wasn't really, didn't hit him intentionally, you know. But it was fine. Put some ice. He just had a cut in his lip.
Okay.
He put some ice on it. And we finished the rest of the night. We took him to the hospital. He had five stitches.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. But the next day, but this is a good story about Robert Downey as well. I felt like shit, felt bad. I didn't want to hear anybody.
Yeah.
Of course. And the next day, I was on the trailer, again, prepping me up for the makeup. Robert comes in. Without saying a word, comes in and puts a gift bag on my table. Oh, And then he leaves without saying a word. Now, I was going to say good morning, but he just, you know, gets out right away. I open the bag, and it's a champagne bottle, a nice bottle of champagne, and a card he written personally, saying everything is cool, don't worry about it, just finish the rest of the week, and personalized it, he wrote it himself, just to lift my spirits.
That's great, man. Wow.
So that's a nice classy.
That's a superstar.
No doubt.
Right? Yeah.
You punch the guy in the mouth, right. And he says, thank you. He says, thank you.
When you run, I never got that. I punch a lot.
No.
Yeah.
Right? Ted, when Robert potatoed you in the face, did you buy him a bottle of champagne?
No. All I did is wait an extra half an hour for him to get ready after his show so that we could bounce to the next town or to the hotel. That's really what it was.
Probably like, owe him a case.
He's the main event and everything. No, I just kept my mouth shut. That's what I remember.
I remember another story with Downey. This is early. This is before the punching. Scene happened. This is in London, right? Most of it in London, and I saw Tropic Thunder. Yeah. Just came out. It just came out that week. And
right.
I figured, fuck it, I'm going to watch Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. It's such a funny movie.
So good. You
know, Downey's so amazing.
Genius.
And I saw it the night before. The next day, I filmed with it for the first time.
Okay.
Which is mind-blowing in itself. You know?
Yeah.
And I told him. We were right before we start shooting. This is the sequence where I jump out of the window. When he chases me away, I jump out of the window with an electrical prod. That scene where before we jump out of the two-story window. So I told him I watched Tropic Thunder last night. And then he goes in character. He goes into character of the character. Let's go for retard in character. And I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop laughing.
Wow.
That's
hilarious.
That's amazing. Amazing first meetings.
For anyone out there that's not convinced by what we're saying about what a genius that guy is, I watched an interview not long ago. I've seen it before, but I rewatched it with Robert Downey Jr. and Jon Favreau talking about Iron Man 1. Yeah. How they had a script concept, and then they just basically said, to hell with this. And essentially, the entire movie was ad-libbed.
You know what? He did the same thing with Sherlock Holmes because most of it was kind of ad-lib. He just basically has a script and mix it up on set.
You know? Wow.
That's how a guy got used. He's an amazing guy.
Absolutely incredible. That is just a talent.
It was intimidating at first because you're working with a fucking movie star like an A-list guy. And I had to share lines with him.
That's amazing, man.
You're waiting for a cue, right? You're waiting for a certain line, and it never comes.
Right? Yeah.
Is he Ric Flair? Is he Shawn Michaels? Like, if you got to relate him, you know what I mean? Because like, you got to say like Robert Downey Jr. Like he's up there. You know what I mean?
Is it Shawn Michaels before?
Pre-back.
Pre-back. Was an asshole, Shawn Michaels, when he hated him, or after he did.
I was just gonna say like him razor like ladder match like that Shawn Michaels performance wise, you know what I mean?
No, I think Downey was that before when he got in trouble.
Yeah,
got over drugs. That was probably Shawn Michaels at that time.
Good analogy. Good.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Downey's a total worker. Now. He's a total worker. He calls everything
completely.
On the
right? That's what I would say now. That's Flair.
Yeah.
I think Downey would be in circles after he found his religion.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Interesting. Right.
Yeah. More, a little more the matches we character. Have with Taker, you know, that would be Michaels. That would be I can see Downey. There are similarities, a lot of similarities between Michaels and Downey, which is kind of odd. It is
interesting.
Because if Downey Michaels in trouble for a while, you know.
Yeah. Hey, Robert, I was going to ask you one WWF question just for the wrestling fans out there that tune in.
Sure.
I know that going back to, oh my God, Tid, what was it, 1995 or 96, 96. When Tid first introduced me to the Insane Clown Posse. And
that's right.
I was blown away by these guys, not just because they're outrageous, not just because of the gimmick, not just because that, but I'm like, these guys have sold millions of records without 1 second of radio play. Like, that's pretty gangster. That's pretty unbelievable. Yeah. And then when they made their transition into wrestling, I thought, wow, this is very interesting to me. And it felt like, even though the WWF never really knew what to do with them, it felt like pairing them with you guys, it really gave your characters some new life. And people can say whatever they want about that Oddities stable. It was over. Like, if
it
you
was
go,
over for a while.
Yeah, if you go watch old YouTube videos, it was over. Like, the crowds were really into it, to the point where it's almost unjustified that it didn't go further. Was there ever anything brought to you in terms of why it didn't get
a bigger
amount of attention?
I think it had this, whatever you call it. It wasn't we were taken seriously, of course. The way we were, if it's just a clown act or a comedy act,
right?
So it was a limit to our existence. You know, it went through what it did. The lifespan was.
It ran its course.
I remember very much how I was introduced, because I was part of the Oddities, the Human Oddity, we call it, when John Jackal was there. It was kind of mostly a heel faction. And they didn't know what to do with me as Kurgan, because I was Kurgan with Jackal. They gave me a little push, and they backed out. That's how they do it. They backed out. My direction of my career were like this in the WWF. But for a while there, they didn't know what to do with me, and I thought they were going to let me go. And then they put me up with the Oddities, with the heel faction side. That's where I met Janet Silva and Luna. Luna was there too. Tenta. That's where I brought Tenta as Goga.
And then, you guys had Luna, and you had George Steele. Yeah, and
George Steele.
Well, that's afterwards.
Later on. When you went baby.
When I got introduced to the fun-loving Oddities is when Vince Russo called me. He never called me. I never got a call from Vince Russo before. My wife says, Vince is on the phone. And of course, I didn't go to Vince Russo. My man was like, Vince, you know?
Right.
Right. Oh, you got Vince Light.
My mind was like, what the fuck is this? Vince is calling me.
Yeah.
I was like, am I going to get fired on a phone or something?
Yeah.
Anyways, I got the call. It was Russo. He pitched me the idea of the whole fun-loving Oddities. Basically introduced us as this, me and Silva, to dress up in tuxedos singing Miss America to Princess Luna Vachon. You know? Yeah. And I was, because this is on the phone, he couldn't see me, so I was like shaking my head. No. I said yes, because if I said no, I'm sure I was probably going to get let go. You know? So I said, why the fuck not? I said, sure, fuck it, let's do it.
Right. Yeah.
And then, I was still nervous. I wasn't sure I was going to get over. Because I was supposed to be this monster heel, and all of a sudden I was going to be this fucking clown.
Right.
It was like, this is completely out of my league. But it all happened because Vince saw me dancing at a WrestleMania after party. WrestleMania 14.
That's all it takes.
Because you can invite your wives over for the WrestleMania.
Oh.
And my wife, we love dancing. She loved dancing.
Yes.
So she wanted me to dance with her. And of course I did. But I just realized I was the only male, you know, wrestler dancing on the dance floor. All the other wrestlers were all sitting down, looking at me like they didn't know what the fuck was going on. Vince McMahon saw me dancing, and he couldn't get it out of his mind. So that's he puts the whole comedy curtain
thing. What song were you dancing to when it happened?
I forget. Was it might have been.
Was it Nelly? Was it Nelly Furtado?
No, it wasn't Nelly. This is before Nelly, right?
So okay.
Kurgan's like a bird.
He's a dude. I don't know if you know, huge fan.
Huge fan.
I'm still
fan.
A fan of Nelly. But mostly, yep. Not Nelly today. Nelly, she's more pop stuff. More,
yeah, no, I was talking about you, not me. I know you are a huge
see,
fan.
That's pretty cool. I'm more of a fan of Pink, more of a fan of Floyd, Pink Floyd, actually. But,
there you go.
It's funny to think. It's funny to think that that faction that you guys were a part of, in terms, forget about the ICP for a second, but the in-ring performers,
right?
You, Tenta, Silva, Luna, and then to a lesser extent, George, you're the only one that's still with us.
Yeah.
They're all gone.
I can think of 10 guys, let me see my hands, at least I can count 10 guys I work with, I knew from the WWF, they're all gone.
Oh, more than
crazy.
Definitely more crazy.
More than that now, but which is crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
20 years, it's insane. I remember Ron Tillman the night before he died. I saw him the night before he died.
Yeah. I remember that. Tid and I were on air that night.
Yeah, we were. It's crazy. It's crazy. So here's I gotta rewind it a little bit before we go here. Obviously, we don't want to keep you too long and stuff like that. Thank you so much for your time, by the way. Yeah. But I gotta ask you, because going back to the movie stuff, and we know that, like, you know, there's all the rehearsals for the fight scenes. There's all of the you know, now a stunt double comes in and stuff like that, right?
Yep.
Who's taking your bumps?
there's a couple guys
on, like, on their shoulders, like two guys in like a suit, like to
they stack up guys. Five midgets,
right?
There's a couple guys.
How nice is that, though?
You know, it's awesome, because it's when you ask somebody, my character is supposed to fall going through a glass window at the door, or falling off a bridge to the water below. Get the stunt guy to do it. I sit on my chair while I sip my coffee while we do the dangerous shit. I'm happy with that.
Good for you, man.
There you think you made it. Oh, yeah, I made it, you know, to have a stunt guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Does the old wrestler mentality come out when you read the script and go, and then Apex falls here, and you're going, oh, I'm going to have to fall?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, like Sherlock Holmes, it was all me.
Right.
And I do a lot of shit in the Sherlock Holmes, a lot of stunt rigging.
Right.
It's crazy, going through doors, falling off the buildings, two-story buildings. I mean, I first time I ever did stunts, like, it was crazy. Luckily, those guys were professionals. They were all safety-oriented. It's not like pro wrestlers. They would just try shit and see what happens.
Yeah.
But, hey, Robert.
Becky, I was doubled a couple times. Becky, too. So this is always cool.
I mentioned in the intro, and before we let you go, I want to bring this up. We have a mutual friend who I've known for, I don't know, Tid and I have both known this guy for at least 30 years. You've probably known him just as long as well. Joe Hitchin, Joe E. Legend.
Joe Legend, absolutely.
Yeah.
And Joe absolutely. Legend, I was chatting with him, and he says, oh, I can't believe you're having Robert on your show. That's awesome. Yeah. Best baritone singer ever. We were on the road together, and I would get him to sing on every road trip.
100% true.
I would. You know what, Joey was awesome. I just got released from the WWF back in '99, right? I got the call, the infamous call from Bruce Pritchard, and they released me in the middle of actually in July, this time of the year in July. And I was pretty down by it, of course. Get released, get fired from the WWF.
It sucks.
It really did suck. So I got back on the road. Right after in the Maritimes, we're back to where my roots, back for the Grand Prix Wrestling, got back in there. And just where I met for Joey Legend for the first time. And Joey was the heel, he was the champion, of course, for the whole summer. And I got a chance to work with him for the rest of the season. It was only the summer season, right? So mostly it was September. And I worked with him 80% of the time. And in my career, I can think of, that was one of my highlights, was working with Joey. Because Joey can do everything. He can have
he's tremendous a fucking talent. Match.
Tremendous talent. So we had great chemistry. And we do a 20-minute match, and the crowd would get really involved with it. And I had one of my best matches was with Joey Legend. Mm. So, he's an awesome guy, too.
I remember when I was...
when I was doing play-by-play on indie shows back in those days, and I would talk to Joe beforehand, like I would talk to everybody, and I'd be like, okay, what do you have going into this match that you want me to put over on the microphone? What do you want me to talk about? What are your signature spots that you want me to mention? And Joe would come to me with a list. Here's my seven, you know, named spots. Here are all my moves that I do. You got to call the hospital job, and you got to call the, you know, whatever else he had. So I can't even remember all the. I'm like, Joe, my God, like, you're all gimmick.
Right?
But he was, my God, he was a student of his craft, right?
He's charismatic.
Joe is also responsible for one of the only times, well, partially responsible, and I'm going to shout out my tag partner, Custom Made Man, Marcus Ryan, right now. And Joe and him are responsible in part for the only time that the Giant has ever gone down in the Maritimes, thanks to a multitude of chair shots from Joe Legend.
Wow.
Not one. No, it was a multitude.
He did the hospital job.
He did.
The aforementioned hospital job.
Yeah. You're right. Fantastic.
Custom Made Man makes a frog splash.
Frog splash from Custom. Thing will murder you at itself.
Step bastard.
Right?
Do you remember the song that Joe used to always ask you to sing when you guys were on the road together?
I don't know. I don't remember. I know we did a lot of what's the cartoon?
Donnie's just warming you up to choose a song, Robert. He wants to hear you sing. He's setting the stage.
This is how he gets you to freestyle.
According to Joe, on every road trip, he would ask Robert to sing "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch."
It did went through my mind. That's hilarious. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Amazing.
Any more than that, we got to pay his agent.
That's right. Yeah, right?
Robert, thanks so much for joining us tonight, man. If fans want to, they can go see Becky in theaters now. If they want to contact you, how can they do so?
Well, they can find me on Instagram. I'm there. I just basically started a month ago.
Perfect.
On Instagram, and I'm on Twitter as well.
We'll put all that information up. Yeah.
Becky's coming out on Blu-ray DVD in September. I think September 15th. I'm not sure, but it is coming out in the physical copy, Becky. So yeah,
it's amazing.
Good for you.
Awesome, Robert Maillet, thank you so much for your time, my friend. It has been our pleasure. And thank you so much. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you. Good to see you, Ted.
Thanks. See you, buddy.
No one's ever said that before.
I know, right?
First time.
Stay healthy, bro. Stay healthy.
Yes,
guys.
Be safe.
You too. Thanks, man. All the best and congrats.
Thank you. Thank you, bro.
Robert Maillet, everybody.
Amazing. Awesome.
Stand-up guy.
He's always been a stand-up guy, and legit, he is one of, like, he is that. That is what you see. Yeah. That is what you get. Like, Robert's always been that dude. He's this giant, imposing figure, and he's just always been a sweetheart of a human being. And legit, if you want to see what that human is capable of, go see Becky, man. Like, everybody deserves it. I don't blowjob a lot of movies out there. You know what I mean? but this is cool and it's fun. And here's a little side note that I didn't bring up. It wasn't originally supposed to be Kevin James in that role. It was originally supposed to be Simon Pegg in that role.
Oh, right? That would have been cool too.
Crazy, that whole, you know, Shaun of the Dead kind of vibe. Like, this was a very cool flick, man. Y'all owe it to yourself to go see this thing, man.
Well, I agree, bro. I actually just saw it a couple of days ago, knowing we were going to talk to Robert. Yeah. And I was super impressed by the fact that they had given him so much more to do than just be the big oaf, and that there was character and there was some depth. And to your point, his humanness, some of that's reflected in the Apex character, which is super cool without giving away anything.
Too much. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Well, is any parting shots before we say goodnight?
Go ahead, Tim.
No,
I just wanted to say, I want to make a point. I know that we started to get into a conversation prior to Robert coming on the show, right? With Nicole, and I want to make a point to remind ourselves and have the listeners remind us as well. Next week, I want to talk a little bit more about all of that we were talking about, right? Okay. This needs to be brought to the forefront a little bit more, because not enough is being said for the indigenous people on these fronts, right? And I get where she goes with this, and I want I owe it to, you know, we owe it to Dan for an honest and a thoughtfelt answer to his question, you know what I mean, before we went. So thank you guys for this.
Yeah, week. Thank you guys. Good to be back to seeing you guys again. Glad you're all right, Don. Glad everything is good on your end as well, Tid. I want to end the show by revisiting the first thing that came out of Donnie's mouth today, and that is that Breonna Taylor's murderers have not been brought to justice yet. For everybody out there who continues to show their love and support, not just for us here, the Godfathers, but everything we stand for and everything that you stand for. I know, Tid, you've been on them as well. And
bro, a football player, a professional NFL football player who is protesting the murder of Breonna Taylor, got arrested before the fucking cops that murdered her got arrested. What's wrong with this fucking picture, people? Pull your head out of your asses. Get your shit together.
Amen.
I cannot say it any better than that. Period. That being said, I do want to let you guys know, because I haven't let you guys know this, that and we've talked about this off air about what our jobs are to do here on our podcast. But obviously, as a musician, as an MC, I feel like my best voice is in my music. So I just want to shout out everybody who's shown support for the Born to Be remixes. I dropped them on the 3rd of July. It is my anti-Trump, pro-equality, pro-justice anthem that's been remixed 3 times over. And the support's been enormous. My Spotify listeners have doubled, and it's been streamed over 1,000 times. So I just want to say thank you to everybody out there. I was just in the studio today, literally rushing home to do this podcast, recording another protest song. And I'm going to reveal what that is as soon as I'm given permission, because it's a feature verse on a 30-year anniversary song that is about this very topic, specifically covering police brutality. So I'm looking forward to that coming out, because, like I said, other than being, you know, one of the Godfathers with y'all, I feel like my strongest voice is in my music. And lastly, I just want to shout out everybody who's shown me support over the past couple of weeks, because back in February, so we hadn't even started the podcast yet, but my first album, The Book of Daniel, celebrated its 20th anniversary. Right. And so I printed up T-shirts to celebrate the 20th anniversary, and people supported it, but COVID hit us and I couldn't do anything about it. So people were really patient, waiting. They finally came. So I just want to shout out everyone who picked up one of these. This is the anniversary T-shirt for the 20th anniversary of my debut album. So thank you to everybody who supported it. Thank you for your patience, because you finally got it all these months later. And anybody out there who does want one, just hit me up online. We'll do this directly. Thank you to everybody continuing to show your support. It does mean a lot, man, especially during this time.
I meant to say to Robert before we said goodnight to him that we were going to send him a free gift as our thank you for tonight. We are going to be sending Robert a free basket of food courtesy of makegoodfood.ca. If you want to get yours, you have a couple of options. One, you can go to makegoodfood.ca right now. Enter code GOP45 and you'll get $45 off your first 2 baskets of food. That is whatever recipes, vegetarian, artisan, whatever you want, easy prep. You can get breakfast, lunch, dinner, anything you feel like. Go to makegoodfood.ca and enter your promo code GOP45. Your other option is go to godfathersofpodcasting.com anytime between now and this Sunday, July 19th at 12 noon. Be one of the first 10 to purchase any clothing item off of our website, and you will let us know, email us right away, let us know, hey guys, I purchased, here's my receipt, and
we show your proof of purchase.
Show your proof of purchase.
Yeah.
And we will send you one free basket of food that retails for about $70-$80. Absolutely free week of food.
courtesy of us and courtesy of our sponsors,
that's makingfood.ca.
Thank you so much to everyone. On behalf of Notorious PID and our bro Danny O, my name is Donnie Da Silva. This is episode 15. We are done this party, and we will see you next week.
Peace.